Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Enon Zur. Hey, it's great to have a chance to catch up with you again.
Great to have me
to be caught up.
It's great to have you here digitally in my studio, and I'm so happy and grateful to be with you and
Oh, thanks. Well, when we left off last fall, we were talking about Eagle Flight, and you said that we would be talking about Siberia next, and your prophecy came true, because here we are talking about your soundtrack for Siberia 3, which is just phenomenal. I've really been enjoying listening to it. I'd love to know, just for starters, it's been 13 years since Siberia 2 came out, and so I'm wondering what... have you brought some different aspect, different sensibility to the music for Siberia 3?
Yes, of course. I mean, the thing is this. Since the story of Siberia, if you are familiar, and many people are familiar with this lawyer from New York that found herself with no, basically, I'd say, plans or intentioned, trapped in this weird world of this Eastern European cold and snowy world. And basically, she is getting to know this tribe called the Yukols. And again, she being saved by them, and and then she gets really, really strong connection with them. And this is basically the story from Siberia 1 and 2. So the story just begins, but Kate, like you, evolves, and the story just gets more and more intricate. And there are new powers. I cannot really speak about it, but new powers, even darker powers coming to mount some problems, and the adventure basically gets really almost dangerous for Kate, she needs to basically put together her strength and her inventive powers to overcome all these problems. And this is where the whole game planning came, including the music. So we had to almost rewrite Kate's story, but portray the more I'd say more older and advanced and experienced Kate, but that she has a way harder and griever challenges in front of her. So the music also had to take a turn. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, the 13 years gap is almost technical. What really happened here is the direct continuation from where we left off in Siberia 2. But it all really take a turn into an unexpected direction. So the music grew from Siberia 2. But then the music following what's going on in this adventure had to also take this turn. And again, I cannot speak and talk a lot in details because I don't want any spoilers. But everything turns to be very dramatic and very exciting. The pace definitely is stepping up and get much faster. The storylines becomes more complicated and challenging, and the tension rises and the music with it.
Wow. Well, the music that I've heard so far is absolutely gorgeous because of the palette that you're using. You had a chance to work with Arely Brighton again, and she sounds just fantastic as always. But then you've added so many other layers of other sounds and instruments, the Prague Philharmonic, which also sounds amazing, but the women's chorus especially, because that gives such a sense of place. Is that the Bulgarian women's chorus?
It has some, basically, we respond the Bulgarian women's chorus with Arely, And she, except of like singing her own part, also sang the Bulgarian part. Again, there are way more levels and I would say styles and types of music inside this score because of the, all the participants have been really varied. And we have obviously some new heroes and new bad guys and some old heroes that are coming to visit us. And I had to address everything. So the Yukols, we get to know them much better during this game and up and close and personal. So I had to come up with their specific music, which they did not have on Siberia 2, for example. They have their own theme and their own basically soundscape. The other people in the other location also have their own music and soundscape. So there's a lot of styles that I brought together and sort of like they're colliding but also existing together. And this is what creates a very unique overall palette of the music of Siberia 3.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I was really thrilled. I have to say, I have this like really soft spot in my heart for Tuvan throat singing because it's so difficult to do. There's only like a handful of people that do it, and you hardly ever hear it. And yet, here it is in your soundtrack. I'm guessing that it's part of the sound palette for the Yukol tribe.
Yeah, but you know what? It's really, really interesting because I remember I went to Paris and met with Benoit Sokal, the amazing artist, and with the producers of the game. And we sort of like sat together about 2 to 3, I mean, like 2 days basically, talking about the vision of the music. And when we got to the Yukol, I said to them, well, I actually really hear the throat singing of the Tuvan tribe, which is a Native American tribe. And I said, all right, let's listen to it. And we opened and listened to it in YouTube. And yep, there it is, this throat singing that is almost two voices in one voice. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the boss said, but you know what? I really actually like the tribal voices from Nepal. And I said, well, let's listen to that. And sure enough, it's not the same thing, but very close. Also, like throat singing with two. And then we started to go over, and many other sort of like, tribal sounds from different parts of the world have the same or close technique of this throat singing with this overtone high note. And it just really gets you thinking, like, what's going on? Do we have something connecting between them, or like aliens or whatever? But overall, it seems to be like, okay, if everybody does it, it's good for us. So we went for that.
Yeah, well, where did you eventually find the singers for the soundtrack?
Well, actually, I went and really searched for, and I couldn't find like a person that could do it good enough. So I basically recreated it from certain sample libraries, and then also layered on top of it some stuff that I myself played. A handmade, and actually it worked good because we didn't want that it's going to be exactly the Tuvan, or we didn't want it to be the exact Nepal singer, or we wanted to be like that but with a Siberia touch. So doing that actually created this something that called the Yukol sound. And so for some weird reason, it worked even better than actually bringing like live people here and do what they're doing. And oh, that's a Tuvan. Yeah, but the ukuleles are not a Tuvan.
Yeah, wow. Well, you fooled me. I thought it was a real person.
Well, again, it's a lot of layers, and it always has to do with using libraries, but then also layering with some live improvised instruments or voice. And I think I discussed it a little bit in my talk to Fallout. How do you basically create this sort of like a combination between pre-recorded library and stuff that you record on your own, and then you create this interesting soundscape. And I basically use the same technique here.
Wow. Well, it reminds me, 2004, it doesn't seem all that long ago, but then when you start thinking about all of the new tools and software and sample libraries that composers like you have access to, it must have been really fun to, take the ideas that you had for your soundtrack for Siberia 2 and really just kind of open the throttle with
Oh,
Siberia 3.
you are so right. And on top of it, we are going to discover that there are a lot of new players. So I also had to bring some new themes and new ideas. So the score, although in the overall soundscape, if you will listen to Siberia 2, you will know that it's coming from the same world, okay? But there are so many additional elements there, so it totally evolved.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to meet Benoit in San Francisco at the Game Developers Conference, and he is such an interesting artist. He's got such an interesting vision and a kind of a clarity of vision with this story and the backstory. And then apparently there's going to be a graphic novel to go in conjunction with this to add even more to the story. And it must have been just an amazing experience working with him.
I mean, for the, average, listener who is a gamer, but also sort of like, our fans, they will understand if we'll say that Benoit is somehow the French Stan Lee. He basically created a lot of comics way before he was even part of the gaming industry. This is how he started. He basically created comic books. And there you could research his background, but he has a very rich background with his art, basically creating, the art for comic books. So he came from this world. This is what he loves to do. He eats, drinks, and breathes this, world. But his dream was always, and I think the jewel of the crown in all what he always did, was Siberia, the Siberia world. He was so attracted to this Eastern European imaginary land with these imaginary creatures and the tribe. But within this, he was able to put together a very realistic and heart-touching story. So he was able to connect many worlds together, bring a lawyer from New York, to this weird land, and they're meeting the actual tribes, but they're also meeting the people who rule these lands. And he was really intrigued by the whole thing. So it's not only about the art, it's also a lot about the story. The actual story is really what drives Siberia.
Yeah, and the story itself is so interesting because it's a real, it's a journey. I mean, a real journey for Kate Walker, being a fish out of water and then gradually becoming not necessarily comfortable with her surroundings, but she kind of gets used to all of the things that suddenly get thrown at her, and she learns.
Not only that, she gets very extremely passionate about it, so passionate that she would risk her own life and well-being just to, help and protect this tribe. And it becomes basically her life mission to do all of that. And as the risks and danger dangers are mounting, so is her will to overcome and to do everything in her power to do it. And you, as a player, are getting to basically play Kate Walker and think with her how to solve all these, I wouldn't call it even puzzles, these are challenges, to overcome all these problems. And it's kind of like a breathtaking adventure.
Yeah, definitely. And hearing you talk about her and her personality, this word just popped into my head because I think it describes the theme that you wrote for her really well. It's resolute and not willing to give up in any way. I mean, she's just going to keep moving forward to do what she needs to do with the Yukol tribe and get through this adventure.
Yeah, and she will always be in the minority. She will always be the underdog. She is a very, very strong woman. And just a personal note for me, I mean, such a game that is bringing a female character, not only to be the lead character, but also to present, you know, an example to how really things need to be run in the world. It means a lot to me, because for a very long time, game industry was based on, you know, male heroes. And we know that in many cases. But bringing somebody like Kate Walker, that is not a warrior, you know, she's not... She is not masculine. She's not amazing in shooting guns or slingshots or bow and arrow and other female characters, you know, in other games. She is just basically, literally, a strong spiritual person, you know. And it just meant a lot because it's so different.
Yeah, it really is. I can't think of really any other women in games who are like her. I mean, Lara Croft would be the obvious one.
Yeah, Lara is very athletic. She has a lot of physical capabilities. And she is sort of like the, you know, I mean, what we could expect of a... like a female hero in a simple way, you mm-hmm. know, she could fight, she could do a lot of things. And of course she is extremely pretty and sexy and attractive. And Kate is so different. Her personality and the way she's presented is so intimate, and it's so you really get to almost know a real person, you know, when you're playing the game.
Yeah, I bet. Now that you've done the music for two of the Siberia games, do you feel like you really know her well? I mean, are you kind of sad now that you're done writing the music for Siberia 3 and you might not have a chance to, you know, be part of her creation anymore?
Well, we never know, and you never say never, but it definitely, you know, feels sad to, you know, be done with this world. But just the satisfaction and joy that I have, you know, that I could share the music and the adventure, you know, with all the gamers. I just so envy all the gamers that on the 25th of April going to first, you know, click and open the game, and the world of the new Siberia is going to open in front of them. I just envy them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I've barely seen it, barely scratched the surface. And one of the things that really strikes me about it is that it's kind of not really set in a definite time period, because Benoit used all these abandoned buildings and relics and monuments and stuff from the Soviet times, and it kind of gives the game almost like a steampunky feel, but you don't know really when it is because of the tribes too. And so did that make it an interesting challenge to write the music for it too?
Of course, and the whole steampunk feel is definitely something that is being reflected in the music and a lot of choices that I made as supporting this feel. So, and it's actually really fun to, you know, from time to time play like a steam organ.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and these kind of like weird instruments, and you could really picture all these weird contraptions that Benoit likes so much, you know, to put together. Everything is ticking, and, you know, gear, you know, wheels are turning, and it's so mechanic, and it's rusty a little bit, and but it works, and it feels real, and it's really cool. And it doesn't really matter when did it happen, because so many of these far places that we could only imagine actually stayed like in a long time ago, and they've developed their own technology that haven't changed because like the real modern time did not really arrive. And when it arrived maybe not in a great or a good, with good intentions. So this is definitely influencing the overall feel. And one thing that I could say is that like, the beginning could be quite dark because of that.
Yeah. Well, and then you've got the tribes, the really primitive Yukol tribe too. And Benoit had said that he was really into studying the tribes from Siberia and Mongolia that also haven't really had a lot of modern intervention or modern influence until really, really recently. So they've got all of this ancient history. I mean, they're like still connected to their ancestors from, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, which is really interesting too.
That's true. And they are really spiritual bunch. They might be primitive with the way they talk or their tools, but they are very, very advanced when it comes to thinking, when it comes to communication, when it comes to the spiritual way of thinking. And, the story definitely highlighting that they have a lot of spiritual abilities that could be translate into physical abilities that they are using. So they definitely possessed a lot of spiritual power. This is what drew Kate so much toward them. They are so fragile in one hand, but so powerful in the other.
Wow. It must have been an interesting contrast to have to write music for, which I guess it sounds like that's the sort of thing you just live for because you've got a really great opportunity to do something like that, just to jump right in.
Exactly. And you think about like them and you think about if they will play something, it's going to be probably start with like slow beats of drums. And then it'll maybe have some kind of like a very primitive wind instrument. But once the theme is getting evolved, you start to get into their spiritual world and the orchestra enters and basically highlighting the whole inner world. Such a rich and interesting and sophisticated world of their, spiritual being.
Wow. It's just been amazing, and I can't wait to hear more. I can't wait to hear the whole soundtrack because I'm totally hooked right now. And Enon, once again, you know, your music has completely brought this world to life, and it's just been so much fun to talk with you about it.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks again for having me. It means a lot because, we always sort of like behind the scenes, and, and it really... means a lot when the music is also, being tend to and people care about it. So thank you so much for helping that happen.